Why are you angry?
True.
I haven't had enough coffee.
Coffee?
I've had like half a pint of coffee in the first minute. I should stop. Okay, Phelan, how about I say a word and then you say the next word?
Finish each other's.
Okay.
And then we can finish the sentence. And
God, what number are we on? Sorry, I know
episode
you just
40.
Said, but... good thing I checked. Okay, so we're on episode 40.
Episode 40, right.
What alternating words you say?
Alternating words, yeah. What?
Legends?
What, you missed it up!
Hey, whose word was it? I don't think it was yours.
Oh, it must have been mine. But... Right, start again.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the next episode of the Clip It Podcast. It's episode 40, and today I'm doing the intro because we failed to do the intro for the past 5 minutes. It's not planned as usual. Charles is back. He's had a day out. He's had a good day. He didn't stream today, lazy bastard. It was too hot for him, and he suffered greatly. We've got Delicious with us, as usual, and we've got Charles, and we got me.
Who's
that was pretty good. Pretty good.
It would have been better if we went with the original one, but no.
Or maybe Connor, if you could form a sentence.
Connor, what? It was fine.
The first two words you said when it comes to the sentence was hello, no. And what was the first one?
The first one was, I said what? And then the next one was meant to be up.
Oh, yeah,
and you
went legends.
Guys.
I wouldn't strip for fucking legends. Yeah, I wanted to. I didn't think we wanted to copy it exactly. I thought we were doing our own thing.
What legends?
If we're gonna do it, about correctly correct.
Well, I'm not saying we've gone. What legend? Welcome stream. I was thinking we could have gone somewhere with it. I'm sorry that you just don't have the imagination for this podcast.
All right, we can do another one then.
No, we can't. We've started now.
Yeah,
you've done
started.
The intro.
Have we?
Yeah.
Charlie started.
Okay.
We started.
How was your day?
It's been good. Good. I went out, tripped over, did a 480. I didn't complete a full rotation, unfortunately. Landed on my pocket and smashed my phone, didn't I? It's absolute piece of piss. How's you two been?
Yeah, my phone's in one piece.
Mine's in one piece, just missing a few small pieces.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm doing good. My phone is also in one piece.
Though it can be taken apart.
I could make it not in one piece, yeah.
It just sounds like a threat. You want to be out, I'll take you out of pieces. No, that's not. Fuck. Anyway.
Awesome.
We are, yes, on episode 40, as mentioned. And it's been a fair few weeks since we last recorded, since I got the crew together. That is the Lord and Savior ourselves. They just absolutely fucked up and just didn't record for a while. To be fair to them, and when I say them, I mean me, I have been to London. I built a new PC.
Anything to get away from streaming.
It's true.
It sounds like.
That will actually become a topic because I want to talk about Twitch. And what else did
Tax
I do?
Quitting.
Work.
He's got his money.
I've been working.
Yeah. Well, very
good. Sounds like a bad idea.
It is.
So now you're going to be rich. And even
Twitch. Yeah. I'll go on to it. Like, so.
Okay.
I saw. You two may have seen it. A Tactical Brit tweeted out something about the new raids YouTuber implementing, or whatever they call them, live redirects, which is just brilliant.
Right.
And
the old man term for them.
Yeah,
yes.
Live redirects. And I just saw that. I was like, that's cool. You know, YouTube catching up to Twitch features. But YouTube in general just has a better platform when it comes to streaming at the moment. The only thing they're down on is chat. And with everything Twitch is doing at the moment, it kind of just makes me want to move. But as a small content creator, if I want to keep my community, it's very hard to. It's impractical to move, especially at a point where I am now, where Twitch is still growing. My account, sorry, is still growing a little bit. But I don't want to just leave it all in one, just leave it in the dust. So it's like, I want to move because YouTube just seems better in general. But at the same time, it's very hard as a small content creator to do so without a huge loss, unfortunately. And
it sounds like I was ahead of the curve then, is what you're saying.
Yes, you should come back with the streams on YouTube.
Hell yeah.
And then live redirect to me on Twitch. Because that works like that.
Yeah, I'm sure though YouTube will be really happy.
Brilliant. There you go, that's how you get ahead of the curve. Let you redirect your viewers to a different platform.
You know when sometimes you click on someone's YouTube link in their profile and they didn't just link their channel, but they link the subscribe pop-up where like you go, takes you to the channel, and then like, would you like to subscribe appears. It's that, but back and forth between Twitch. You raid your YouTube channel and just like try and get someone to join a membership, and then you raid someone, you just take them to the subscriptions page for your channel.
Yeah. Nah. I wonder if there's a, like... it's an interesting... an interesting thing, because obviously YouTube isn't built from the ground up to live stream. So these are all just features being tacked, or not tacked on, it seems like they're actually doing well with them. But like, I just love the idea that you could, there's like that one day there's just a bug where you can live redirect to a channel that isn't live streaming, it's just to their channel, to like one of their videos, and just give them a bonus.
You can live redirect to a premiere, which principally is just a video.
That's true.
Because it's like, but that's an official thing that they like explicitly mentioned was supported, which I really appreciate.
Yeah.
Because I like that, from a joke standpoint, it's funny because you can live redirect to a premiere. From a serious content standpoint, actually really good because you could end your live stream over the release of a video and move into the premiere, stick around in chat, engage with the community in the way that people already do with premieres. It's actually, like, for a content perspective, it's actually really good. Yeah. But I'm still going to make fun of it because it's funny.
I never thought about that, but that's pretty cool.
Honestly, though, I agree with you that YouTube is the better platform, like, generally. I think YouTube's better at handling video. I think the player's better. I think the website's better. It lags a hell of a lot less. I'll give it that. The advertising is better integrated, and like better and nicer to deal with. Pays varied on both platforms, to be fair, but Twitch, especially with the potential things which we'll discuss a bit later, is it's certainly edging on the lesser end of the pay, it looks like. Yes. So yeah, like, honestly, the only thing I think it's lacking in chat, and I don't know what the solution is. Like, you got like people like Lud trying to develop like apps to bridge YouTube and Twitch chat, but like I think YouTube just need to do something themselves, or I think all YouTubers just need to like, or all like YouTube streamers just need to stop using YouTube chat and start using Twitch chat. Like, you can just use Twitch chat on a YouTube stream. YouTube can't care. Like, it's just awkward to redirect people to it, but it's doable.
That's unusual. Brilliant, but at the same time, okay.
So what's up with the YouTube chat? Sorry, because I've been...
So in comparison to Twitch features to a Twitch chat, so important thing to understand about Twitch chat is the Twitch chat is just IRC.
Right,
Like, very explicitly just IRC. Every single thing is an IRC server. Every message is just, like, normal. It's just standard IRC. Users have got tags. Like, me being a mod in Charles's channel just means that in the IRC, I am hashtag Agent Oink instead of just normal Agent Oink, right? And then it goes, oh, they've got a hashtag. That means they've got mod permissions. Like, well, wow, well done. Like, everything is literally raw IRC. Some of the advanced features, like replies, for example, are built on top of... And that's actually the reason replies suck. Because when you reply, all that happens is the front end figures out what the reply chain is based on the chat history. The back end, the actual IRC itself, has no knowledge that replies are a thing. So if you send a message in chat, for example, Phelan, and then I reply to it, in the actual IRC chat, it would show at Delicious Twitch YouTube and then my message. And then when you reply to me, it wouldn't show at Agent Oink, it would show you saying at Delicious YouTube, and that's how the replies work. Once someone initiates that reply, the front end just looks at someone replying with the same app. The two people are speaking to each other and goes, yep, those are replying to each other. Which breaks anyone that uses like third-party clients and stuff just gets really confused by people just like atting themselves and people that every time have to explain like, yeah, it's how replies work because Twitch is stupid. So that, you know, there's that regard that it's very accessible. It supports third-party clients. Emotes are just, again, like strings that are just passed as emotes by any client. Because they're just text, right? It's very flexible and accessible in that sense. On YouTube, however, I'm not sure about the back end of the chat. I don't think it's IRC, but whatever back end they're using isn't super relevant. Because the front end just kind of sucks. On Twitch, you have emotes. YouTube, you do have emotes, but you can't use emotes in the same way that you can on Twitch. There's less of them. They're a bit more finicky. They're smaller. Things like that. Like, emotes are pretty central to Twitch chat. They're pretty important, I'd say, in, like, the community. And then there's, like, other, like, what I'm going to call, like, usability features thing from, like, both a modding and a user perspective. So for users, say I'm typing to someone on chat on Twitch, and I'm like, yo, I like this person. Like, I want to, like, check out their content if they're, you know, if they do content or whatever. Like, you can't do that on YouTube. You cannot click on someone's username in the YouTube chat because they disabled it, like, a year ago. You used to be able to. You can't anymore. The reason they disabled it was because everyone was just spam bots and people were just spamming live stream chats with, like, click my name, I'm totally Mr. Beast, click my name, haha. And every YouTube live stream was an obsessed bit of hell. So instead they said, actually, you can't click on people's names in YouTube chat, and that solves that problem rather than us fixing the actual problem. And now every YouTube comments is just, I'm Mr. Beast, click on me, click on my name, I've got a giveaway, check my WhatsApp. So, you know, they sort of fixed the problem, as in, didn't fix it at all. But that sucks, because, like, I like being able to, like, go on it, or, you know, like, click on someone's thing, or, like, I see someone's, like, VIP or verified in chat, and I check them out, or even just to DM someone. And then from a modding perspective, that's useful on Twitch, because, like, I can check someone's message history in the chat, right? That not a thing on YouTube. I want to mod someone, and someone comes in. If someone says something in Twitch chat that's a little odd, I'm like, actually, that's not acceptable, but maybe it's referring to something previously that I didn't quite catch, or whatever. It's like, click on their name, click on message history, I go, oh yeah, I see what has happened here, I'm misunderstanding, they don't deserve any, you know, any reprimands or whatever. On YouTube, yeah, it's not possible, you just have to scroll up and, like, figure it out and guess, and it's just horrible. And then, not to give Twitch any fucking credit for this, because it took way too long, but Twitch chat now has the ability to limit who can chat in your chat based on how verified their account is. How old is the account?
Right.
Do they have email and 2FA enabled with a phone number, for example, right? That was implemented way too fucking long, and not to give them any fucking credit for how long this incredibly simple feature took, after hate raids became as apparent as they sadly sort of still are occasionally, but they sort of come back in waves at the moment. But YouTube, again, just doesn't have any of those features. So, like, that's where, like, the chat falls down for me, because if you're a big streamer, especially, or any streamer of any size, but, you know, if you have people chatting at any level and you move to YouTube, the chat is not just worse from a user feature in terms of, like, you know, emotes just being shittier and like, lack of, like, a lot of just nicer features, like being able to properly at people or just, like, copy someone's name or reply, but, like, from moderation feature, it's just way harder to do anything to a user. You can't really look at, like, message history and shit. It sucks. The chat just sucks. It should just be the same as Twitch's. I know I ratted for ages there, but...
No, it's true, though. It took, like, does YouTube even have that sort of moderation, though?
I don't think it has any mod features like that, no.
So, yeah, they're still behind, but, like, it shouldn't have taken that long for Twitch to get that sort of moderation on, especially for stopping spam accounts and bots. And you're talking about hate raids, the people are, I think, sadly unaware they are still happening. They're not as prominent as they were, but they still are happening. The reason I kind of just giggled to myself then is because I was thinking, YouTube's inevitably going to have this sort of issue at some point. And what are they going to be called? Because Twitch, they're hate raids. And the first thing that came to my mind was racial redirects. Probably.
YouTube already does. Actually, this is a fun fact about YouTube's live streaming. A lot of people that do hate raids on Twitch live stream on YouTube, their audience, to communicate and distribute the hate raids.
Christ.
That's a fun fact.
So they're the organizer.
Yeah, so YouTube's in on it, I guess, in one sense.
Jesus. They started this to get Twitch down.
So just to clarify, to not give YouTube, like, an unfair representation, moderation features that YouTube chat currently has is subscribers only chat, which you've got to remember that is YouTube subscribers, so someone has to click a button to be able to chat, so it's basically zero-second follower chat. Yeah. Moderators, which can obviously delete messages and ban users. You can block messages containing certain terms or phrases or words, which, again, Twitch has. You can hide potentially inappropriate live chat messages for review, effectively auto mod from Twitch. There's slow mode. There's a members only live chat, which is equivalent to Twitch sub only, where it's, you know, paid members only. And then you can just turn live chat off. So again, it's got some of the features Twitch has, but in terms of like making it easier for moderators to use the thing. And to be fair, Twitch also needs to like have more features, like extensions like Better TTV, 7TV, or third party clients like Chatty and Chatterino, make moderations like even easier, and like I find it a lot easier to use them than the website. But even without it, like there's still like really nice features that would be like sorely missed on YouTube from a chat perspective for a moderator.
No, that's fair. No, I couldn't imagine a live stream on Twitch without a chat. Like, someone just disables chat, imagine. It's the life and soul of the stream. But, yeah, no, it's an interesting one. And something you briefly mentioned earlier and said we'll talk about more now is the monetization side of it. I feel YouTube is... It's not ideal, but I would say it's partially better because they do have a higher ceiling for you to become monetized. But they're still, like, their cut's a lot better than Twitch's, if I'm not wrong. I think they cut 70-30. That could be
I'll quickly look it up.
But if Twitch go along with what they're saying, they could potentially bring down subs.
70-30, yep.
Okay. Is that for all?
Everyone.
Okay, yeah. I get it, because it's a higher ceiling, I guess.
Or memberships, specifically.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure what the cut is for revenue. If you don't know how much revenue people even make on streams on YouTube ad-wise, but
If Twitch do decide to go through and change the partner revenue cut to 50-50, oh, that's going to be interesting for sure. That's going to be super interesting because it's just not fair. Like, what justification do they have to switch it to 50-50? It's not like they're running out of money. It's not like next week they're not going to be able to pay their mortgage off.
I mean, Twitch for a long time hasn't been particularly profitable.
Or streamers?
The company.
Okay.
But from a business perspective, Twitch, I don't think turns a profit today. I'm fairly certain it still loses money. I think it's fairly close, but I think it still technically loses money. Now, I don't think Amazon is like majorly concerned about that, because they kind of mitigate it in a sense, in that while the platform directly loses money, they try and encourage things like, hey, we'll give you a free Prime sub to encourage people on that platform to buy Amazon Prime, which is a much more direct flow of cash into Amazon's, you know, business. And it probably does, if you were to measure, you know, that side of it, and again, Twitch is used heavily for advertising Amazon. A lot of adverts on Twitch are not third party, they are Audible adverts. They are Amazon adverts, right? So it's a lot of it is Amazon redirecting people from a platform they own that might lose money in its own bubble, but a lot of the money that it generates is sort of not through itself and actually through just pushing people to use other Amazon services. So I don't think they're like majorly concerned, but I think they would also like to be able to turn it profitable. But the concept of like 50-50 is just absurd to me, because currently the concept of partner is for Twitch. So you can be a Twitch affiliate, right? You're on 50-50, whatever, right? You're the scum of the lowest of the low for the earners. They don't care about you, despite anyone that's an affiliate being like the top 0.whatever% of Twitch. But, you know, and then as you get better as a partner, you've got tiers. They have a 50-50 split at the start of partner, a 60-40 split midway through partner, and a 70-30 split at the top of partner, which is normally the point when you're also negotiating a full contract. We're talking about viewers, Twitch streamers that are getting like thousands of views very regularly. Now, the problem is with that is that they want to change that potentially to 50% across the board, which for a streamer that's 70-30 and one of like the top 50 streamers, for example, that could be a pay cut in the range of hundreds of thousands of USD a year. And it's like, even if Twitch thinks it's the only potential option they have for profitability, what fucking reason do those creators have to stay on the platform? I mean, you've just had Ludd go a few months ago. You've just had Sykuno go like a few days ago to YouTube from the time we're recording this podcast. I don't understand, like for what reason would like Pokimane want to stay on Twitch if they suddenly say, actually, yeah, Poki, despite you being a fairly big sub, you're going to receive $60,000 less ad revenue this year and $100,000 less sub revenue this year. Okay. Right, but I'm already earning, you know, 40% of my income through merch. And then also, I already have a bunch of marketing with offline TV and related stuff on YouTube. We could just move there. Hey, YouTube, are you interested in this? YouTube's like, yeah, we're really interested in this, actually. In fact, if we could have Pokimane as a registered streamer on YouTube Gaming, we'd probably pay you a pretty good contracted price to get you over here. Like, it's just, like, it, even if it's, like, the only option they see as a future for the business, it just seems like they're just going to lose people if they make it. Like, I see no other option other than all the big streamers. And, like, that's a, like, this is not even mentioning how it's going to affect smaller streamers, which is going to be really harsh. Like, even medium-large streamers might have to stop streaming as their only job because of this cut. But, like, for the, from a platform perspective, it just seems like people are just going to be pushed out to me.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree on that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how I fucking see it.
Yeah. That's, like, alongside the other changes.
As the greatest YouTube streamer here, Delicious, you got anything to say on this?
It's weird, because outside of you, to be honest, I don't really interact with Twitch or streaming. It's just not like a format I'm particularly into. Also, I've done some both on YouTube and Twitch on an extremely low level. And at that point, I sort of only did YouTube because I was keeping it all in one place with less effort, but otherwise had no real reason to go either way when I was that small.
So you weren't offered a silly big contract from one to the other?
No, I was also on, I can't remember if I streamed on Mixer when that was.
I think you did.
Only a little bit again, yes. But again, I didn't really notice. I did see some people on there, like, really
I'm pretty sure you streamed then when it was Beam as well.
Yes, I absolutely, yeah.
Because I remember Otaku Shout, that's an old name, because we used to be a bit more active on that platform.
Yes.
I wonder how he's doing, but yeah, Karen.
Still see his tweets occasionally.
At that level, I didn't really notice any difference, and if I was to go back into it now, currently I'd be looking at Twitch, but it wouldn't be, but it's only because I've been off YouTube for so long, and it wouldn't be like, oh, I must be on Twitch. And with everything that's happening, it could very quickly turn to, oh, I'll just go YouTube again.
Yeah, so I think it's worth noting to consider that these plans are not set in stone. This is not something that Twitch has announced.
It was
a leak of a board meeting and what they are planning, some of the things they are considering doing. So alongside this, they are considering more incentive systems for further ads. So recently they released the ad incentive program that means you can get paid a fixed set, pre-clarified amount to have a certain amount of ad density for a month. And basically what that gives you as a streamer as an option is, hey, do you want 1 minute of ads, 2 minutes of ads, or 3 minutes of ads? We'll pay you this amount. Now, that's good in theory, because one of the things that streamers struggle with in terms of income is the variability of it, right? Subscriber numbers, generally you can track in trends. Like, people are going to, you know, you might be gaining subscribers slowly. Maybe you've been off for, you know, a break for whatever reason, and you'd see your subscribers start to track down again. Like, that's the sort of thing that can be tracked fairly reasonably. But advertising revenue on Twitch is, like on any platform, it's more sporadic. It has very lows and higher highs. You've got your Christmas boost and your January fall, you know, standard things like that. And then it's also worth noting that streamers, like, it's important to note, even though it's not through Twitch, make money from donations. So if they're streaming more, they're going to be making more money through that. And then, like, for people that have got to that level, like, merch sales and shit as well, right? So the problem with that system was that, in theory, like, giving streamers a more, like, stable set payout is nice, because it means they don't have to worry about maybe they suddenly have to take a break for an unexpected health concern and worrying about subscribers, you know, cancelling or whatever, right? Was less of an issue. But the problem was that that payout was fucking abysmal for, like, so many people. It was like, yo, do you want to stream 3 minutes of ads every single hour for a month and get $20? And people were like, no, frankly, I don't want to do that. That sounds terrible. And then some people were, like, actually getting okay numbers, but they were very few and far between from what I saw. So it looks like they're considering basically more systems like that, more do thing. We will run more ads, but you get a payout for it. Not exactly clear what type of things those would be all I could think of right now is maybe like integrated like advertisements in chat or something. Like I don't know. I'm trying to think of like real weird shit. Like maybe in future Twitch will be like, oh, I want to watch this streamer. They're doing a speedrun of Elden Ring and it's the last 2 minutes. Oh, click. Oh, I've got an advert for Audible for 30 seconds. Okay. Oh, the players froze. Oh, I've got an advert for Audible for 30 seconds. Okay, it's finally loaded up. Oh god, there's a hype train by Pringles. I can't wait for the hype train by Pringles. That's awesome. Like, you know, maybe that'll be a thing in future. Shit like that. Alongside that, like, they're potentially dropping exclusivity requirements for affiliates and partners. Now that would be pretty significant as a change. I don't think it really makes up for like the loss of revenue that people would have otherwise. So here's what it would mean. It means people could stream on YouTube or on Facebook Gaming or on MLG or whatever other weird platform they choose, alongside streaming on Twitch. But the problem with that, for me, is that while that technically means you might go, oh, but that means the revenue split's not as bad because they could be earning money on YouTube and on Facebook Gaming at the same time. Isn't that awesome? I mean, yeah, but that's also presuming that YouTube Gaming and Facebook don't have exclusivity deals requiring the person to not stream on Twitch. Or whatever combination, which isn't really the case currently. And then secondly to that, what streamer wants to be like, hey guys, I'm streaming now, come check out my stream on one of these five links. Oh, the people on Twitch can't chat to the people on YouTube, and the people on YouTube can't chat to the people on Facebook. That's just dividing your community for no reason. You know, if you're doing different types of content across different platforms, that's more reasonable because you're directing people to your VOD content on YouTube. You're directing people to your live content on Twitch. But splitting your live audience across platforms is just going to be bad inherently for a creator in terms of like interactivity. So honestly, like, everything they potentially are considering doing like just seems bad for the channel. I'm not against like losing exclusivity and just like that being a thing because people would like it, but it doesn't actually give anything. Like, some people are arguing that it gives streamers like more options, but like not really, not for that much loss of income.
No, it'll be interesting to see like what happens, like especially with the bigger creators, whether they will try and go with YouTube. I'll be honest with you, I always fucking forget that Facebook Gaming exists.
Oh, I don't even... Nobody goes to Facebook Gaming anymore.
People sign deals for Facebook Gaming just for the payout, not for any benefit to the platform. And I've got nothing against people doing that, like, fair enough. But the platform does not have much going for it. The platform just... Facebook has money.
And they had a better payout system where it was like for the first... I can't remember this, but I want to say it was the first year as a content creator, you would get 100% of your revenue.
It's not bad.
Which was, like, fair enough. You know, they were just trying to bring content creators in because this was a huge try and jump.
I know multiple people, I won't mention them by name for complex reasons that won't go into discussion with, but, like, I know a couple of people from the Overwatch community who had very successful streams on Twitch. You know, in the numbers of thousands of viewers, right? And we're speaking like high subscriber counts, doing very successfully, receiving donations, well known in the community, who abandoned Twitch for Facebook Gaming, openly said, while they were doing it, I am doing this for the money. They are paying me this many millions of dollars. I don't care that it's bad for me. I know it's bad. I'm doing it for the money. And everyone, oh, fair enough. At least you're honest about it. And then they finished that, and then they like were like, well, my Twitch community is dead. I'll go to YouTube and push that because YouTube was growing at the time. And then like they dropped off the face of the earth for other reasons. But like, you know, like I totally get it. Like a lot of people did that and made that decision because if you're already growing other content streams like a YouTube and shit like that, or like companies or whatever, like yeah, I mean, if Facebook were willing to pay you, why not? Like, fuck it. Not Twitch certainly aren't willing to pay people.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an interesting one for sure. Like, Facebook Gaming was... Actually, now that I think about it, I can think of someone... I don't mind mentioning the Tactical Brit, who I was talking about earlier, who tweeted. He was signed on from Facebook Gaming, and he's not streamed on there. I don't know if it was just a year contract or not, but he's constantly on YouTube now. That's only just crossed my mind.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain a lot of the people they signed were in a year contracts early, because the guy I was talking about was on for a year.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was a big name. He was someone that they absolutely could have argued for a longer term, but they didn't, obviously, so... don't know what their reasoning for that was, but
maybe they just saw no growth out of it, even with these huge names, and they thought, "Fuck it, no point in keeping them on."
It's a very closed-off platform.
Yeah,
like it's a weird place to go.
The biggest issue that I saw with it is people like to go online to be like to have anonymity, be anonymous, and if you're on Facebook,
we are anonymous.
You're not. You know, if you're using your main Facebook account, that's your life. For a lot of people, it's a lot of their life in that account, so they don't want to be giving it. Like just talking to hundreds of other people, some of them they may know from previous platforms, and then giving them all their personal details, basically. It was an odd move from Facebook, but maybe it works. I know some creators that moved over and still stream over there now. As far as where they haven't really grown, they just do it day in, day out, you know, they get paid for it, you know.
Yeah,
but
I think it's certainly important to consider when you're watching any live stream on whatever platform that streaming, like, for people is a job. Even if it's like someone's part-time job and they work two jobs, whatever, it's still a job. I think like a lot of people forget that streaming takes a lot of effort to like be on. Not necessarily don't have to always have a camera. I'm not excluding people that don't use cameras, but to present yourself, yeah, even if it's just on mic playing a game or doing whatever content, it takes effort to do that for an extended period of time. Especially streamers that like stream like 8 hours a day, like every day, like shit like that, like fucking hell, like God. And I think people can sometimes forget that. Especially for like smaller medium streamers, because when someone's a bigger streamer, a lot of people are like, damn, look at all these donations coming in, you know, $50 donor, $20 donor, $20, $50, $5, and they're like, damn, this person's making bank. And I'm like, yeah, they are, like, fair enough. But for a lot of like medium small streamers, like they're doing the same amount of hours for like an income, certainly not anywhere near as much as some streamers are making, and it's still like as taxing on them. And so like when streamers are arguing about like, you know, 50-50 split isn't fair and shit, you know, you've got to remember as well, for people that are already on a 50-50 split, someone that's an affiliate now looking at their channel and their channel is growing, that decision is like, my future 70-30 split that was the potential if my channel kept growing and I was successful is gone. Right? That means my revenue can never grow to the point that I previously had predicted it would. Maybe that means that someone might have to push back for 2 or 3 years them going full time with streaming. Mm. Right? Like that's those are huge decisions that impact people, not just that are already making money, but people that are planning to use Twitch. Shit like that. And I think what's becoming like more and more clear for me as time goes on with streaming content is that streaming as a format is not something that's just enjoyed live. A lot of people like watching VODs, and you know, watch content like that and they can't necessarily catch it live. And a lot of people that have streams like upload their VODs to YouTube because it's just a better platform. No one wants to use Twitch's VODs player, it's shit. Like, it just objectively is bad. There's a reason that like you can go to every single one of like, the biggest Twitch streamers and they have a VOD channel on YouTube. And I think integrating like content types into one platform is honestly really beneficial for a creator. Like, fucking argue whatever you want about like monopolies and all of that side of the fucking business and economics of it, sure. But for like a creator to be able to be like, I go live at this URL. You want to catch up on my streams? All you got to do is go to the same URL but click this button instead of that one, right? Oh, you want to look at my shorts content, or I want to just advertise myself through short form video on the same platform? Right, you want to be able to pay me money on the same, like having everything integrated is very nice.
Mm.
And it's knowing that is it still the case that what's the split for super chat still? Is that still 100%?
Oh, I was gonna say it's 80-20, maybe it's 100%.
Oh, it's still 70-30. Okay. Well, there you go. But I thought for some reason that maybe there was a time when they were trialing doing 100%. Either way,
maybe.
Either way, 70% is still better than what you get on Twitch from
Bits is 20%. I know their newest one is 20% goes to Twitch, but it's also debatable that 10% goes to PayPal, which I don't know if that's basically the new one is stupid.
One thing I know with like YouTube with Twitch subs and that is that like if you're on mobile, like the price of subbing is higher because they offset like the fees they have to pay, like Google Pay or Apple Store. So you should never sub someone on mobile because your like £3 sub will now be like a £4 sub. Jeez. And it's like annoying. But you know, That's not a major thing. Just something to be aware of.
You know what I find absolutely... I found this out the other day on Twitter, thanks to our big boy Zach Bussey, which I thought was absolutely insane, is that Bits and the other one, I can't remember what they call him, like Super Bits, I don't know.
Super Chat.
No,
YouTube
on Twitch.
YouTube doesn't have a... Oh, on Twitch.
Because they're trialing the thing soon, or maybe they are now, where you basically just directly donate money.
Oh yeah, I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, it's you instead of you giving them 100 bits, you give them $1. And that's what I was saying, is this new feature, like Bits takes 20% off, it goes to Twitch, but also I think it's like 7.9% goes to PayPal. So in theory, you're giving the content creator less money doing it that way than just giving them bits. But like something I think I find fascinating, and it's just stupid, is the fact that Bits and this whatever it's called, like Super Bits, are chargeback protected. Subs still aren't. Why is that a thing?
Also noting that you can just refund a sub regardless of what platform you're using. You can just refund a sub just at a button press any time in the month with no needed you give a reason, but it doesn't matter what you pick, it just gets refunded. Like loads of people don't know you can refund subs, but you can. And honestly, I'd rather people didn't know. But
I love how when you ask for a refund or a cancellation, if you do multiple at the same time, all of the like the reasonings will always just be in a different order. It's like they're trying to get you out, or like try like to make. I guess it is a way of just seeing if people are automatically doing it or whatnot, or like getting bots to do it. Because there was those who just using. Where was it? Was it Turkey a couple months back where there was a money laundering scandal going on with Bits on Twitch, and a shit ton of content creators just got banned. They got unbanned.
It's pretty funny.
But yeah, that was interesting. There's been lots of issues with Bits, especially money laundering or tax evasion or something stupid like that.
I see. So, Sorry. The system that you're talking about is called Cheering. On Twitch. It's US only at the moment for testing.
So Cheering?
Cheering, yeah.
Isn't that YouTube thing?
Super Chat's what they call on YouTube.
I swear they have a cheer thing. I swear I've heard Cheering before. Maybe it's just that. It's just stuck
I can't remember if the spamming chat thing on Twitch used to be called Cheering or Chanting.
I think that was Chanting.
I think it was. Whatever.
Anyway,
it makes more sense. So basically, you get a little UI, like what amount do you want, and then like the chat button becomes buy and cheer with a little payment. It's 80% to creators after fees, which is interesting. So to get through Zach Bussey's works here, if someone was to super cheer $1 and then to pay with PayPal, PayPal fees would be 52 cents, leaving 48 cents left. Then the 80-20 split comes in, so the streamer would get 38 cents. In other words, a 61% loss on that $1. Which is pretty significant until you get to, like, someone's donating enough that it, you know, doesn't matter. It does make it potentially worse than Bits at certain pay levels, which is pretty epic.
Yeah.
One of the biggest ones I have with Bits on Twitch is that a lot of users don't know how they work for small channels. It isn't a problem for anyone past a certain point. A lot of people go to a small channel, and maybe they're already subscribed, maybe they're not, but they want to give them some money, but they don't want to like just donate. So they like just drop some spare bits that they have in chat. And that's like, no streamer doesn't appreciate that. Like, I'm not trying to suggest that. But to get payout from, like, some people think they've donated $4 worth of bits in someone's chat, that person just gets whatever cut of the $4 they get. No, they have to wait for their payout amount to get it. It's not like donating, where there was a cut on donating, it just gets sent to them. They still have to hit their payout amount for it to come out. Because I remember finding that out a good 5 or so years ago when I donated bits to someone. And they were like, cool, I will get that in like 10 months' time. And I'm like, epic, that sucks. So if you're ever donating to someone, or like if you're ever on someone's channel that's like fairly small and you want to give them some money, just donate to them directly. It's like it's way better as an option.
Yeah, 100%. Even though there's still a slight cut on it, I don't think it's anywhere near as bad as tiering or subs, and you get it directly there and then. Sometimes it may be held back for suspicious reasons, or I don't know, you've just made a new account. Sometimes I've known streamers friends, mainly smaller content creators, who have had those donations held back for like a couple hours, maybe even a day, just because of that reasoning. But apart from that, it's just an overall, that all Patreon, but not everybody has a Patreon, and it's, again, you're redirecting someone away from your main channel. Not everybody wants to do that. How dare you? So look at this live editing, everybody. So yeah, it's certainly annoying.
It's an always developing field, and I guess it's always going to be awkward when, like, say, people are either relying on it for their like livelihood, for their income, or expecting to at some point, and these sudden changes could potentially really mess things up.
Anyway, a topic I wanted to talk about with you, because you linked it and I watched it. What's your opinion on this new Weird Al film?
Good lord. Okay, so from the beginning, when I first heard about it, I was like, sure, cool, a Weird Al film, I'm up for that.
All I want to say is, I did not expect it to be, is it produced by Roku? Is it paid by them or something like that?
Exclusive.
Yeah.
Exclusive in some way, yeah, which is weird. I didn't even know they did that, but yeah. Sure, whatever. When I heard it was going to be Daniel Radcliffe, I was unconvinced.
Okay.
I've got to say, don't get me wrong, he's a great actor, or he's an okay actor. He's been good enough in the things I've seen him in. But I just did not think he'd be suitable for the role. But I saw, you know, Weird Al was given that, the sort of the go-ahead, and I was like, okay. If he's got the backing of the man himself, that's got to be fairly decent. The trailer that's just come out, looks pretty decent. I'd go and see it given the chance. I think I'm not like
I don't is it coming out in cinemas?
I doubt it.
Yeah,
like,
it's only at Roku cinemas. The trailers.
Give them a chance.
Yeah, there you go. Film night. The trailer does look interesting. I'm very interested to see the storyline. But also, like, that one scene where he's like, someone give me an accordion. I'm interested to see the sort of comedy they go for. I feel like I'm hoping it's going to be sort of like that, sort of like, not slapstick, but that sort of like, Scott Pilgrim, or it's just Edgar Wright sort of style mixed with James Gunn, it seems. Like, very bright, flashy, classic music, obviously Weird Al music. But like there's so many random scenes in it. It's like, is this him daydreaming, or are they just going on a fucking wild story that's just, I don't know, made up, or like what is the basis of this? It looks interesting. It looks like a lot of fun. It looks like a Weird Al film, the better way you could put it. Someone said that he has to cameo in it, and if he does, in what way? Is it going to be like a sudden realization sort of scene where he's like, oh god, I am this sort of person. It's just him and Weird Al. Like,
maybe.
Towards
the end, it'll do like a, you know, a more modern
current moment. Yeah.
And it'll suddenly become like him, or that it'll be like by each other or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the final scene, right? Like Radcliffe will like, be, you know, doing a scene where he like walks into a room like, oh, I'm getting old now though, and then like he just like walks out of the room and it's just Weird Al is there.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to black, and then the credits go, and then there's 15 post credit scenes.
What's that Weird Al song he did? It's one of his more recent ones where it's all celebrities in the music video. I think he parodied Happy. I don't know if you've seen the music video for it, but it's like all just celebrities, like Jack Black. It's the only one I can think of right now.
Yeah, I didn't recognize any of them in it apart from Jack Black.
Yeah, there's a couple from like The American Office, Parks and Rec, and I can't remember the other one. It's a couple from those shows. But I just like to think that's the last scene. Is it's just like Daniel Radcliffe goes through a door and it just cuts to that music video, but every single celebrity is just replaced with Daniel Radcliffe. I think that's how the film should end.
Yeah.
Also, someone pointed out, why the fuck is he so shredded? I don't remember Weird Al being shredded, ever.
No, it's certainly not something I would have associated him with.
No, again, maybe it's just like a daydream, or that's how it ends. It's him just waking up. This is all just been a dream. And that's genuinely, I guarantee you that's how the film ends. It just has to.
I could see that happening. I don't like that.
No, yeah. Because it just... it looks like a fun film, and that's what films are meant to be, so...
Hmm.
Yeah. And talking about fun films, I can't wait for Doctor Strange. Shut up. Anyway, next topic.
Yeah, Doctor Strange with all those great actors and, like, weird plot twists in it.
Thank you.
Where there's Thor's...
There's one actor in it who was on the red carpet. Like, people were like, oh, this character is going to be in it. And then he's at the red carpet. I haven't seen any of the pictures from the red carpet. But they I knew if he's at the red carpet, he has to be in it. So, I was like,
yeah,
that's a bit of a spoiler.
That'll be a pretty goddamn good film, though.
Yeah.
I think you've also got Top Gun coming out later this
year. Yes, yes. That's...
Finally.
Oh, I'm actually going to have to tell my dad about that.
They're going to delay it again. I can't wait for it.
Like, did you see the article about it? There's a recent article and I just looked at it and I laughed. The producer, there was an article saying that the producer was talking about how the Jets, I don't know why it was worded like this, but it was saying like the producer said the Jets were so realistic that China got a spy to take pictures of them to make sure they weren't real.
Right.
Yeah. Let me get the actual article because it wasn't the title just made me laugh.
You want some onion shit again or something?
No. Like... Oh, it's fucking brilliant. Wait there.
Exactly.
But no, that film looks. I'm interested to see how that film is, just because it's a lot of hype around it. I don't think it's going to be an amazing film, but I think it'll be a fun one to watch. A lot of nostalgia in it, especially for those who watched the original Top Gun. There we go. Top Gun Maverick. This was an IGN article, by the way. Top Gun Maverick's producer claims fake plane was so realistic that China noticed.
Right.
The fictional Dark Star was real enough for China to fool China. This is so brilliant. So, for those who don't know, in the new, obviously the film hasn't come out, so there's basic details.
I've seen in the trailer, I would not have described that thing as looking realistic, but again, I've only seen it in one bit of the trailer and I wasn't focusing super
hard. For those who haven't seen the trailer, this is going to be an awful description because you probably don't know what this is, but it's basically a very modern SR-71. Just imagine an SR-71, but built in 2022. Is the best way I could put it.
Yeah.
I just love the idea, though. Like, why? Why would they even put it in the film if it was a real-life plane?
Oh, that would be an awesome flex on China.
Yeah, look like, what we've got.
And we're, like, displaying it on film, you know.
Fuck you, yeah. Like, that's literally just...
such a weird but awesome idea.
Oh, I just saw that. Please. I was like, fucking hell, that's brilliant.
Dark Star, that's a familiar term to me as well.
Was it a concept plane?
I think so. I want to say it was a UAV, but I don't know. I think I remember it from? I think I remember it from...
Star Trek?
My Top Trumps.
Oh.
Star Trek. No, I think it was in my, jet plane Top Trumps. You guys remember Top Trumps?
I miss Top Trumps.
God damn.
Like, do you remember them?
What number's bigger? Yeah, I win. God damn.
Right, so I very much doubt it, but I think I might know where you're thinking about Dark Star.
Yes.
It's a gun in Planetside 2 for the Vanu.
Oh, for the Vanu sovereignty? Yeah. No, I just whilst you were doing that, I decided to look it up. I was right, it is a UAV.
Oh, okay.
I'm fucking genius. Lockheed Martin / Boeing. Let me check. I thought it was,
wait, what like the fuck is that?
Design? Yeah, it's a very weird looking design. That's
was that
I
ever
remember.
Built?
It was built and it was flown, but I don't know. I can't remember how well. That's what I'm looking into
now. I'm just
now.
Trying to think about how big it is.
Oh, the program was cancelled. There you go. So it took off a few times.
It's not even that big.
And
okay.
Crashed at least once.
Right.
And then they cancelled the program.
I don't blame them. If you've seen it, it just looks atrocious.
A very unstable airframe. I'm not quite sure what they were. thinking, but hey, you know.
It doesn't even look like the airframe doesn't look like it will like make it even any more stealthier than anything. Like,
well,
the U2 would just be 10 times better than that.
I don't know. I think shape-wise, that's going to be, like, fairly good.
Did they build it like that so it scares people?
Cross-section.
Look up in the sky and go, what the fuck's that?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I wish I could say what that would have been. But yeah, that thing was kind of crazy. So that's a brilliant wingspan of 21 meters just over as well, if you're looking at the image now for this.
Oh, actually, looking at this, I didn't realize how small the SR-71 was.
I guess as small as they could get away with would be my...
Oh, I thought it was massive, but, like, compared to some of these jet fighters, it's relatively small.
Right, okay.
Unless this image is just completely wrong.
Right, I'm excited.
This is a collection of NASA experimental aircraft, including clockwise from left to X-31, F-15 active, SR-71, QF-106, F-16XL, and an X-38. And the SR-71 just doesn't look that big.
Right, okay. God, sorry, I'm trying to type in as many of those as
I didn't want to have to do this, but I am making a meme in reference.
Okay.
To I've the current topics of the podcast.
Before. Is it faked?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Let's have a look here.
But you see what I mean? I just thought the SR-71 was, like, massive.
I reckon you thought fighters were smaller.
And that, yeah, to be completely honest.
Is it the photo of them all in, like, the, on the ground?
Yes, with the airport car thingy in the middle. Is that an RC plane in the middle? Honestly. Still, SR-71, best one of the best planes I've ever seen.
Pretty goddamn good, yeah.
One of the planes I wish in my lifetime I could have seen fly. I genuinely would have loved to. Like you, the Vulcan, that is a beauty to watch and see. SR-71 is also up there for me. I wish I would have been able to see that take off or just fly. I think that would have been fantastic.
Yes, that may have passed. I've not really looked into if they fly, if they keep any ready for air shows. I don't imagine so.
They're very hard to store, so I doubt it.
Mm.
They tend to leak a little bit, famously.
Yeah, I heard weird mix. I can't remember what I heard. I heard something about that.
What? Apparently they leaked because they were built. They were built so panels were slightly too. I'm trying to think of this now scientifically so I don't seem stupid, but I think it's when it got to the speed and the height it went, the metal got. Or the outside got so hot that the metal expanded, so I think it was built slightly smaller. So it gave it room to do that. So the fuel tanks would leak on the ground. Because they were just that slight bit smaller.
I can't remember exactly what. I don't know if I was told that the myth was.
Maybe the maintenance plan was just lazy.
Or if it was more like. It was probably just like a very specific aspect of it, you know?
Yeah.
Wasn't quite true. But I don't remember, so I couldn't say.
Still. It still holds the record for the highest flying plane?
Ooh, I don't know about...
Is it the fastest still then? No, it's not the fastest, no.
I think it's still fastest manned air-breathing jet.
I was going to say, yeah, jet.
Which is, yeah, there's quite a few clarifiers and people do like say like fastest flying jet or plane and they're not technically...
Because is it the X-15 that's got the world record for that? It's one of the X-1s. It was the rocket-powered one by whatever his name is.
Yeah, I'm talking to rocket-powered. Chuck Yeager, I want to say. Oh my god, what? Yeah, I could probably look up some flight airspeed records.
I want to say the X-15 had the world record because I'm pretty sure that was the jet that launched off the B-52.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd imagine so. I imagine it did a...
If I'm not wrong, didn't Neil Armstrong fly that?
Yes, I believe he was in the...
Not like the world record one, but I think he flew it for training
purposes.
He was in
the program,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Well, I love how we just went from planes to... No, sorry, we just went from a normal topic to planes. It typically happens like that.
Hell yeah.
I get behind that.
Yeah. I like it. Picasso.
Yeah, and then I think the only thing that was faster and manned was like the shuttle on re-entry or something like that.
Does
so
that
I guess
count?
Yeah, it's whether you want to then count that. I mean, it counts as its own thing, but it's whether you want to like count it under these sort of airspeeds, which I'd understand why you wouldn't.
The only reason I would say it doesn't count is because they weren't going for that record, I feel. It just coincidentally happened that they were going silly fast
know.
When they came back into the atmosphere.
Like,
it's not like they had an option.
Like, no, we're like a couple hundred miles an hour off the speed record. Let's just point my nose down a little bit. I'm sure they did that all the time in the shuttle. Or the orbiter, I suppose, technically, at that point. But people know what you mean.
Hey,
it's
look.
The same as when you say fastest plane, right? People go, oh, SR-71, because you're not generally being that pedantic about definitions and... There we go.
3.3. What is the fastest man-made? What's the fastest a human's been?
I'm guessing space shuttle re-entry.
How fast did they? How fast were they going when they went to the moon? Like, I genuinely don't know. I can't think of it in my head.
Oh, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know where that would range on the.
Oh my God, I looked up world's fastest human. Obviously, it's going to come up with Usain Bolt.
Yeah. Damn, what did he fly in?
according to this this epic Google snippet thing that it does for answers, the July 20th moon landing at the speed of 2,040 miles per hour. It was a very hard landing.
It is.
Okay, yeah, so it is the Apollo 10 mission. 24,790 miles per hour, or 39,000.
Did you?
Yeah,
say?
Or 39,897 kilometers an hour, relative to
I
Earth.
Realized,
by the way.
Yeah, why that wouldn't have come up, Barzal? Because of course I was looking for airspeeds. That would have been to do with atmosphere. Yeah, that'll be what I was doing wrong there. God damn.
So that's the fastest they've ever. Okay. Did they decide to go slower on every other mission then?
Does them fast. Yeah. Yeah, again, I'm telling you, someone just pointed the nose toward the gravity a little bit more, you know?
Yeah.
Just toward the center, just a little, just a tad.
Jesus.
Yeah, I am.
With standing G-forces, yeah, if you stop from 40,000 kilometers an hour to zero, probably going to die. Well, it depends on, it depends on the speed, yeah. How far the distance you stop. How much of a difference are you going to change the rotation or the orbit of the moon if you hit it of 3,000 kilometers an hour?
God, such an insignificant amount is the amazing thing.
Oh. Okay. I didn't expect it to be that fast, I'm not going to lie.
No, it's pretty quick.
Wait, how fast was the... Oh, this is... I'm getting into a loophole. Into a rabbit hole. Now, how fast did the rovers go to get to Mars?
Oh, okay. I thought you meant, like, when they were on Mars. I was like, I don't know, 3 miles an hour. Not that fast. If they were lucky, probably.
What is the Martian land speed record?
Oh, my God,
like,
yes.
I guarantee you it's, like, 10 kilometers an hour or something stupid like that.
5 centimeters per second.
Oh, my God. I suppose the helicopter they sent up with the recent rover probably is the airspeed record, right?
Which, to be clear, is specifically 0.18 kilometers an hour or 0.11 miles per hour.
Jesus.
Which was opportunity.
These are fucking slow.
Oh, wow. Okay, so they send the... So, I can't even say the name of this fucking rover. Perseverance? Perseverance?
Oh, never mind.
Perseverance?
Perseverance. It was only going 24,000 miles an hour. Or 39 kilometers an hour. So that seems to be a limit, then. of like how fast you can safely go towards a planet and stop.
Yes, I'd imagine. So, what were you saying there? Sorry, you hit us with a never mind.
Yeah, that was incorrect. Google once again, shit, because GuinnessWorldRecords.com was incorrect about their own world record. Or God. Google snipped the wrong part of the webpage, more accurately, because Google's shit.
What do I mean Guinness World Record?
I was surprised by this. I thought that the fact that Opportunity held the record for the fastest didn't make much sense, but I was like, fair enough, like, Ingenuity's quite got a lot of other new tech, maybe they just don't want to, you know, it would be stupid to push it. But no, Ingenuity does have the current land speed record at a whopping 4.5 miles per hour, or 2 meters a second, which is actually pretty fucking fast. Like, goddamn.
And wait, what did you say that one was for, sorry?
For Ingenuity.
I thought Ingenuity was the helicopter.
Oh, fuck, maybe it is.
And how fast did it go, sorry?
Never mind.
Does anybody...
Google quoted the wrong part of this other article.
Yeah.
Does anybody in here
know... I'm embarrassing myself.
I thought that sounded familiar.
You probably know this, but what do you think is the fastest man-made object ever?
Wasn't it like a manhole? Or like, I don't know if it's a manhole cover
don't
so much.
Don't
you
dare.
Like, just
I'll
like
give
a
you
metal
a clue.
Cover.
It's in space.
Because it was like... Oh, okay.
Like just man-made in general, okay, yeah. Fastest man-made object
case,
ever.
Yeah, sorry. Is it God, what's it called? Horizons?
No.
Someone defecated on the ISS and it ended up in orbit.
Surprisingly slow. No.
Because there was.
Depends what it's in orbit of.
True.
I genuinely did not expect this to be something it's human-made and reached this speed. I don't know why, I just didn't expect it.
Okay, I want to stick towards my first answer then, in which I can't remember the exact circumstance, but it was like some sort of cover was blown off by like a nuclear explosion and the shit just like disappeared.
That did happen though, didn't it?
Yeah, that thing went fast, would you believe? Never got that one back.
Any genuine guesses then, Alfie?
It's going to be... I mean, I don't know. It's going to be some sort of, like...
Other than that, I could only say, like, Voyager 1. I don't know why I called it Horizons.
Yeah, it's going to be some sort of, like, spacecraft or, like probe object. Like, one of the many that we've sent somewhere. Or like, something that maybe malfunctioned and burned all of its, like, and it's just, it's something like that, like, I don't know.
Okay, so I think
the Pluto thing.
I think you may have mentioned it before in the chat, Alfie, a couple of days ago. I could be completely wrong, I have to check in a moment.
As you do.
But it's the Parker Solar Probe. After going past the sun, it reached a speed of 330,000 miles an hour, or 535,000 kilometers an hour.
I forgot that existed.
Yeah, I did not expect it to get that fast, though. It just pinged off. It's one of those fucking... just... Whenever you did... this takes me back now. What's it called? Universe Sandbox. Whenever you ping something towards the sun, it just flies off into the distance. That's what we've basically done with the solar probe. Also, the X-3 jet was the fastest man... fastest a human's ever been, land speed. Wow, I can't speak. The X-3 jet is the fastest a human's been on Earth, and that was 7,000 miles an hour, or 11,000 something kilometers an hour.
Sorry, the
X-3.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Okay, so I wanted to.
I thought the X-3 was like an old Italian plane. Someone fucking.
I looked up X-3 and the first thing that came up was Solve X-3. Thanks for the very
question. Okay, well, that was fine.
So I wanted to look up the manhole cover thing.
Thing, yeah.
Now, specifically, there's a lot of problems with this. It's a told tale level of like, well, we obviously didn't measure the speed of it because that wasn't what the experiment was set up to do. But here's basically what happened. Nuclear testing, they dig a tube in, this was some of the earliest underground testing, so you weren't quite sure about how to do that, right? So dug a tube, metal cap on top of tube, bomb goes off, metal cap, whoop, gone. And he was like, metal cap gone, that's funny. I want to find out how fast that was. So he sets up a camera, and this tube was a couple feet deeper, does the experiment, and he has a camera that takes a frame every millisecond. So in other words, a 1000 FPS camera. Awesome. The manhole cover was visible partially in one frame, the first. That was it, because it was just too fast. So that estimates that in theory, it was going at 125,000 miles per hour. I don't think his calculation there is probably correct. Like,
but also, if it was going that speed,
it was going fast, don't get me wrong, but it would have just was like quite a jump.
It probably just burn up within seconds.
It would remain as a manhole cover, I must say, yeah.
I mean, manhole cover's a very incorrect term.
Also, very interesting thing to test.
I know, that's why I heard it.
Metal cap on top of tube designed to withstand nuclear explosion in ground, more accurate term. Yeah.
Manhole cover. Gotcha.
But it's basically a manhole cover.
Oh, the X-3 I was thinking of, I was wrong. It was an American plane.
Are you thinking the Silhouette?
Stiletto.
Same
but
thing!
Yeah, with the sort of more Italian-sounding name, I guess. I was like, oh, it's Italian.
That's beautiful.
So what's this?
I'm going to have to find this article again, because I literally just looked up the X-ray and the Stiletto came up. I was like, okay, the max speed of the Stiletto was 1,000. Well, I had it literally in my phone 2 seconds ago. Max speed of the Stiletto was... Where is it gone?
So the Stiletto was basically a very long needle-nose plane with extremely stubby wings, like just made to go fast.
Apparently,
as
the
far as I'm aware.
Top speed of it was 1,127 kilometers an hour.
Pretty slow.
Awesome. Yeah.
What's fastest helicopter?
That was the X-3, wasn't it?
What's fastest helicopter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
I think we should put a nuclear bomb in the ground in a tube.
I'm checking
and then a helicopter
this as well now, like X3 helicopter. The Eurocopter X3. Oh, X cubed. My bad. It wasn't a 3.
Oh,
in this
okay.
Scenario.
No, this article just misquoted it. Never mind. Fuck you.
No. I'm so confused. What's going on?
So, the article I read said the X3 holds the record for the world's fastest. Jet, I think it worded it as. But then I click on the article that it links to, and then it talks about NASA's X-43, which, if I'm not wrong, is a concept plane. Concept jet.
Real plane. It was a hypersonic scramjet testing system, if I remember. So basically, drop it from a plane to get its speed up so its engines can work, because, as you may or may not know, the way a normal jet works, by normal I mean you see on planes regularly, it sucks air in, it compresses air, and then like a lot of things happen, pushes out back. The problem with scram and ram jets is there's no moving parts, but that's also kind of awesome, which means they use the speed of the air traveling through them to compress it, which means you have to start them off, sort of going a few hundred miles an hour, which is why it was dropped from a plane. I think you basically just point it out over the ocean and just let it go.
Yeah.
These things reach...
They designed them to get to Mach 10 comfortably.
They burn out a fuel in like 30 seconds, if that. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Like, these engines, you're not going to last long.
You
go far in that time.
While reading this article...
I mean, it crashes into the ocean, because, you know, how do you recover something like that?
Well, reading this article, two things. They mention the manhole cover that was set off by a nuclear bomb. But they also talk about Voyager 1, which I didn't realise is 10 times slower than that Solar Parker probe.
Oh, neither did I. Jesus.
It's only going 38,000 miles an hour, which is why it takes fucking long to get out.
I like that we're talking about such scales here with records that we've mentioned like speeds like 30,000 or like 1,000 miles an hour. We're going, oh, that's slow. That's nothing.
I mean, in a cosmic scale, it's like astronomically slow, but in a real scale, it's
like for context, if you want context, the Solar Parker probe, which is going 330,000 miles an hour, speed probably most people couldn't think about. That's only 0.5% of the speed of light. So,
and we've achieved it.
Yes.
Have you guys ever time travel. Seen the gif of what it would have been like to travel on like the SR-71? It was something stupid like that. So it's basically,
I played Call of Duty Black Ops 1, so I know what it's like.
True. It gave you like little arrows telling you where everyone was and which way they were facing, right? It's crazy tech back in the day.
They all faced forward.
Damn.
I don't.
He's not acknowledging the kill streak reward for the SR-71 in Black Ops 1 multiplayer. I don't know if he's doing it on purpose or not. But it's literally just like a gif. There are three. It's just like a plane flying past clouds, and you're like looking out the window like a typical jet. And they just speed up the gif to show what it would be like on an SR-71.
Oh, okay.
And like then obviously put it next to like what it was like on a regular plane. Imagine what it'd be like at 33,000 miles an hour, just like the Parker probe. I'd love to see that gif.
Oh, yeah. Imagine what it's like at 330,000 miles an hour.
Someone uploads like a 24 FPS YouTube video of that. It's like now passing Jupiter and it's just like one frame.
What it actually is it's the video of the fucking manhole cover flying past.
God.
Oh, where were slow-mo guys when they did that?
I have a question for you. I'm not sure. I'm going to be
a gift.
Epic.
Sorry. Carry on.
I'm going to be 100% honest. I may have missed something that you said because I did not pay full attention to everything that both of you said, every single detail. Did you like mention at any point the fastest piston-engined aircraft?
No.
Not in level flight. Okay. Good.
Not in level flight.
Yes, because this is interesting. Because I want you to guess what plane it was and what the speed was.
Is it a World War II bomber?
Oh, yeah, hang on. Question, did it survive?
I would need to read the source. It doesn't say on this speed records page that I'm on, so give me a second.
Is it a few planes after they've ripped their wings off probably could go pretty far straight down with their piston engine?
Yeah, I was going to say, is it a bomber or a fighter of some sort?
So, I'll tell you some details.
Is it a car that has wings on it fell off a cliff?
To give you a take, the date was the 5th of February, 1952. The pilot was Flight Lieutenant Edward Poles.
Okay, so that is a military plane.
Yeah. Any guesses as to the specific plane that it was?
God. So, what was it, sorry, early 1950s?
Actually, yeah, early 1950s.
If you didn't say the date, I was going to say maybe
I mean, I know the
Japanese
date helps
plane.
Somewhat, but like, you know, I'll give you some credit here to give yourself, otherwise you've got like nothing to go
off. It wasn't...
I'll tell you what it was. No, I'll tell you what it was.
Wait, Phelan, it isn't the B-52 that let go of the X, whatever plane, but didn't let go of it, so it just went whoosh.
None of those things would have had piston engines, but other than that,
it doesn't. So, it's a fucking jet fighter.
I'll give you some further details, just because it's interesting and it wouldn't help you particularly narrow it down.
Okay.
It was during an emergency dive, not a deliberate dive of any kind.
Awesome.
But, I mean, that is you know what I mean? And it was while carrying out spying work over China.
Oh, God, who was spying on China? Like, Soviets and Americans would be my...
It's not a
I can't think
something.
Of any fast piston. Like, the best I can think of is, like, World War II aircraft, but why would they be using them over a decade later?
Is it the Zeppelin?
Like, reconnaissance.
Okay, so the speed... the speed was... Noting importantly that this is, you know, in a piston-engined aircraft in 1952 from some dude that's just trying to do an emergency dive, Mach 0.96... Or in other words, 690 miles per hour, 1,110 kilometers an hour in a Spitfire.
What?
Is this the guy that had the Spitfire that was painted pink?
Maybe. It's not mentioned here. I'll read his Wikipedia page.
Interesting.
What?
During a meteorological test flight, which was different to what the previous page said because it was a spying flight, whatever. Poles reached 51,550 feet in the PS-852 at the highest altitude ever recorded for a non-purpose-built piston-engine aircraft. During his descent, the aircraft dived uncontrollably and reached a speed of 690 miles per hour before he regained control, the highest speed ever recorded for a piston-engine aircraft.
Good lord.
That would be fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
I
wouldn't want to do that. I'm surprised the plane could survive, to be perfectly honest with you. Yeah. That's... That's good old British engineering right there.
But also a great pilot.
Well, yeah. I mean, what was he doing? Like holding the wings together with his hands, like the fucking Spider-Man scene.
Brilliant.
Like, oh, god damn. Dude was balling. And he probably shouldn't have been. But he did.
I want to know who this was. So, like what else he did in... Like, did he have any, like, honourable mentions in the war or something?
Let me have a quick look.
Honourable? honorable mentions. Good lord.
So he was 6'4", so notably tall for a pilot.
Yeah, that's really tall for a pilot. No wonder he ever... Yeah, I can't because I will lose my knees.
He was an apprentice during the Second World War, training as a photo reconnaissance pilot, but remained in service after the cessation of hostilities.
Sure.
He basically spent most of his time in twin engines...
Mosquitoes.
Until he then, in 1950, completed a refresher course on the Spitfire.
Now that I think about it, going back to that question, if you'd asked me and I was thinking fast World War II aircraft...
Yeah, I would have said Mosquitoes. My guess...
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah, me and
that's
you
a good point.
Yeah. Twin engine was brought up.
But then again, the Mosquito is made out of plywood, so it probably couldn't survive anywhere near any speed.
It's modified, I don't know.
Just put some aluminium foil over it and keep it together.
He was posted around different places doing photo reconnaissance work, as you'd guess. A couple different things. The Malayan uprising against us being twats.
I'm sorry, are we playing Citation Needed or something?
Yeah, basically.
Fuck you, Tom Scott.
I see, yeah. So he was involved in fighting against the communist uprising in Malaya. Well, British Malaya at the time. So then was doing spying on China in relation to that, from how this seems to word it.
Okay.
And most of his work at that point, yeah, was flying over China.
God damn.
And he photographed 400 nautical miles of the coastline, 160 nautical miles to the northeast, and 100 nautical miles in to the, like, land.
Jeez.
Damn. I like that in the same flight, dude reaches the highest altitude record ever and the fucking highest speed. Not that that one was particularly intentional, but goddamn.
Yeah.
I mean, just imagine being at 51,000 feet in a Spitfire.
Like, dude must have been like, all right, time to descend. Oh, I have no lift at this altitude. Like, it's all gone.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be at 51,000 feet in anything.
No.
Like... Not even like the most modern of modern aircraft.
1,000 feet versus like 5,000 feet in the Spitfire now.
Oh my god!
I don't have that to hand, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was just reading because I was interested in you know, in what like what this is on the other airspeed records section of the airspeed record page on Wikipedia. It's like interesting airspeed records that don't technically fall into like any specific category. Like the fastest ever propeller-driven aircraft. Was a TU-114 at 871 kilometers an hour.
Yep.
Fastest plane on a regular route was the Concorde. Very boring. Passenger plane specifically.
Still can't beat it.
Has anyone heard about like?
When they meant to bring back the Concorde?
There were going to be, yeah, like, three fucking supersonic startup companies that were, like, all that was being talked about, like, 2 years ago. Like, what was it? It was Boom.
Yeah, there was...
Then again, there was
this weird point where, like, Silicon Valley got bored for a second and a few people were like, we're going to build a bunch of supersonic planes that are going to be shit and unmarketable and not have any purpose in the aviation industry, but we could do it anyway. Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, you sure about that? And they were like, yeah, we'll solve all these problems. And everyone was like, you sure about that? And then they just, I've not heard anything from any of them since.
It's like when they said they were going to expand, what's the fucking big airport called in London?
Heathrow?
Heathrow. It's like they said they're going to expand Heathrow and fucking fuck all's happened with that.
I mean, no, there was reason shit about that. You just don't follow politics, but...
Oh, I just don't, yeah.
Damn, all right.
What do you think the fastest glider is?
Someone who accidentally pushed down on the stick.
Unmanned, specifically.
Oh, okay.
Wait, sorry, not unmanned?
Not that necessarily matters, because it, you know, but, yeah, unmanned.
I don't know.
I mean, depending on who you ask, those hypersonic things that
400
I was talking
miles
about
an hour.
Were technically gliders.
Oh, shit, yeah, this is one of the ones you were talking about, I think. HTV-2 Falcon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. That was the fastest glider, unmanned.
Yeah. I guess once you're out of fuel and you have no power or, like, much control over anything, you're pretty much a glider by definition, sure.
Oh my god, what the fuck? What do you think the fastest landing speed is for a civil aircraft?
Jesus.
Oh, it's going to be a Concorde, isn't it?
Nope.
Let me just, like, hang on, get, like, just a bit of comparison up, because even I couldn't say. So the 737 is designed to land around 145 knots, according to a very quick Google.
You could get it in kilometers if you could, because that's the number I have.
Okay, here. Yeah, I'll go to kilometers. I know it's awkward. Which is 268 kilometers an hour.
Okay. I'll give you the date. 31st of December, 1988.
Okay, so this wasn't, like, a designed, this was, like, a one-off event, presumably.
Seems to be, yeah. Let me look at the source.
I'm going to say...
Is it like a Learjet?
Well, it was either pilots messing around or like some serious hydraulic failure where they like had to land with the engines only.
Yeah, I'm trying to translate this Russian... Oh, fuck, shouldn't have said that. well narrowed it down for you. Article. It's all, you know, I just stupid of me. I'm just trying to translate it so I can actually read, like, the story events.
I'm going to say, like, 340 kilometers an hour. So that's 70 kilometers an hour more than... Actually, that sounds way too low now that I've said it, but I've said it.
I'm going to say 400 kilometers an hour just for that reason.
That's much better.
Okay. It was at... 415 kilometers an hour
well
in a TU-134A, which is, you know, just a narrow-body jet. From what I'm reading here, let me just fully read this so I can
did they
get
land?
The details. God damn. So basically, they're approaching an airport, Odessa Airport. Awesome. And they're listening to the forecast, as I'd call it. You know, ATC people will be like, that's not correct. I don't give a shit. They listened into the forecast.
Right.
And they basically got told, wind, very strong, 270 yeah. degrees, 11 meters a second. You know, blah, blah, blah. Visibility was 6,000 meters. Like, okay, you know, so it's pretty windy, but whatever. Mm. They descend in. They're approaching decision speed at 600 kilometers an hour.
God.
And the pilot, the captain just goes, or pilot flying or whatever, just goes, yeah, fuck it. Why not? And then they basically just continue to descend as a landing happens. And just by the time that they're getting on the ground, they're at 460. And then they eventually touch down at 415. They were very seriously reprimanded for it, as you could imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god. They ground 900 meters from the runway.
Oh.
Yep.
They were overloaded on weight, apparently, as well.
Awesome.
Because why not?
Just add more to it.
And they managed to stop with thrust reversers. It was the main thing that stopped them. So thank god for thrust reversers existing.
Bloody hell.
But other than that, other than like it being a fast landing and a pretty rough one, like there was actually like no serious injury or damage. The aircraft like survived and stayed in pieces, just, you know, went on a bit further than it really should have.
Oh, I don't know. That seems crazy, but it would all be like A-okay after that. That's...
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, literally, it's literally just a like high-speed landing, very rough on the landing, overrun of the runway, but otherwise... Like, fine. No injuries.
Like some Soviet maintenance crap. Like, yeah, injuries, sure, but that plane is... I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it is just fine, but...
Oh my god, the fucking pilot was a fucking Air Force pilot as well.
Oh, that explains
got,
it. Yeah.
Like, seriously got reprimanded and potentially lost his rank?
That explains it.
Oh my god, he just, apparently as well, at one point during the flight, he called up ATC to ask for a flight level change. They said, you're going too fast for a flight level change, and then he just changed levels anyway.
God.
His team was just going wild.
God damn.
He just didn't give a shit.
Damn. Yeah, Commander LP Krantov. What a Chad. God.
Wow. And what a high note to leave it on. Jesus.
Damn, okay.
Yeah,
gonna
hit you like that.
Can choke train there, bloody hell.
You know what? We're gonna do everything different today. Anything you two would like to say?
Yeah, why the fuck was it so short?
It's an hour and a half.
Damn.
Could be 6 hours.
That's true. It's true. We also could do it in IRL.
Nothing much to say. Sad news recently in America. Do what you can to fight it in numerous ways. Fuck America. Stupid country sucks. Overwatch League starts today. Woo! I'm excited.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, that's all I have to say.
Nice.
Damn, yeah. I don't know.
Damn.
Go to Twitch, maybe look up some cool people. Some tactical Brits, haha. For
Maxim.
TV. Yeah, honestly, God, yeah, shout out to Maxim, man.
Yes.
Just Maxim, not Maxim Man. We don't know who that is.
It's Maxim, to be more precise.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That's a good thing we clarified.
Yeah. Okay, nice. Well, thank you very much, you two, for being the legends you are. It's nice to finally get an episode out again, hopefully. I'll just be stuck in editing hell for 6 years. And we should hopefully see you next week. I still need to throw out these guests. I'm waiting for you. Take the time. But no, as always, have a good evening, good day, good night, or good morning. And we'll see you in the next one. Ta-ra.
Bye! Yeah.